So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Welcome once again to the Ed Springsteen Show, brought to you by the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com, where you can go catch all the latest, everything we talk about on the show, anything, new stories are always up at LouisvillePolitics.com. And don't forget to join our RSS feed as well and get a copy of our newsletter, man. Sign us up on email. We'll nail you with the newsletter. We'll do it all because that's who we are and that's what we do. Welcome once again to Wednesday's show. I will tell you right now, Dale the Truth is having problems with his computer. He has been attacked once again. I tell you, it's crazy what these hackers continue to do to people who are just trying to get the truth out. However, it looks like Dale will be joining us on his phone. How are you, Dale?
I'm doing okay, Ed. I had to call in because I couldn't get your Blog Talk and Skype to work, so here I am on the telephone.
You know, it's really weird. I mean, everything's working fine for me since Saturday. I went through and I had to do a whole lot of changes. So far, so good, knock on wood, because last week, a couple of days, we were having a severe problem. That was Blog Talk's problem, not ours. So they worked their stuff out Friday. I went through and made some changes on Saturday to the computer just to make sure. And it looks like everything's worked out on this end. Good luck, man, because I tell you what, it was a total pain trying to figure out everything these hackers had been able to get into. Trust me. But people don't really call to hear about that. They want to hear what's going on in the world, man. And I tell you, there is, we've got more gun shootings. We have got, NRA was up in Washington today. We've got police doing bad stuff once again. And we've
can't
even got Ronald.
Do that.
I know it's crazy, ain't it? I went to court today, and as I told everybody last night, I'd be in jail or I'd be on air. Well, I'm on air. Apparently, we have decided that we're going to have a trial. The prosecuting attorney wanted to dismiss the charges. His boss at the county attorney's office would not let him dismiss the charges unless I stipulated a probable cause, which was a joke. I didn't do anything wrong to get arrested. I will certainly not stipulate to a false fact in that situation. So now we're going to go to trial on March 19th just to make County Attorney Mike Connell happy. That's fine. He wants to waste the taxpayers' money once again, folks. So we're good till March anyway, for now, until they find another excuse to arrest me and incarcerate me for no reason. So we're here. I'm glad to be here. And but, you know, last night I was talking to Ed Martin. And one of the things we talked about really truthfully is what is going on with the police today, primarily in Louisville. We've got a story out of Lexington we want to talk about. But primarily in Louisville, it seems like these police, I mean, we are becoming a police state. It seems like they are overly aggressive, making arrests for no reason at all. And by the way, I have to point this out, because Judge Armstrong was the judge in my courtroom today, even though I appeared in front of him for all of 30 seconds, agreeing to a March 19 trial date. I did get to sit in his courtroom for about an hour waiting to get to that point. And I've got to tell you, Judge Armstrong has taken a lot of heat from the county attorney's office and a few other people. But I got to tell you, this guy runs a pretty organized courtroom. I was very surprised at how efficient he ran his courtroom today. And, you know, he won't be the judge on my case March 19th, so this isn't a suck-up situation. But, you know, Armstrong has always been under the gun because he's one of those people who actually adhere to the law and gets chastised for it. And, you know, there's been some problems in the past where people have said these judges are running, you know, a lame courtroom and getting behind schedule and everything else. I got news for you. This guy was packed today, and it went about as efficient as it could possibly go, even though I was there an hour waiting for my case to be heard. I was expecting to be there quite a bit longer than that. So props to Armstrong. I can't speak for anybody else, but he did a really good job today. And if that's an indicator of his courtroom, he's doing the best that he can in a bad situation. So I wanted to point that out. But Louisville police,
man. I was going to ask you, Ed, and we may be on the same wavelength. We don't ever, people don't know that we don't ever talk about these things before the show. It makes it exciting. It's kind of off the cuff. But the story you're talking about in Lexington, are you talking about my friend Jenny Seville?
Actually, I'm talking about Botany Bay. I'm not Jimmy Seville
yet. Store. She's a friend of mine. She's a good Liberty person.
Okay. Botany Bay, are you familiar with that story?
Yeah, that's what I said, Jenny Seville.
Okay.
I don't know if you can hear me. Jenny Seville is a friend of mine. That's her store.
Okay, yeah, that's exactly the case I'm talking about. 5 months ago, Lexington police stormed Botany Bay store. Well, let's get into that. You know, they were looking for drugs. There were no drugs in the place, but they decided to go ahead and start taking property out of there that wasn't even, you know, confiscated items. They were confiscating items that weren't even on a search warrant. Their intent was supposedly to capture illegal drugs. The police lied to the media at that time, told the media that they took illegal drugs from Botany Bay. Turns out they did not. Lexington judge, Fayette District Judge Kim Wilkie, ordered the police to return all of their property. And the police destroyed a lot of that property. This was in August of 2000.
Then they appealed his hearing.
Right, right. So, you know, this is the thing for me. So these guys
were
out there.
She was back in court today, too, just like you were. She was back in court today, too. I don't know if you heard the update from today.
I did not get the updates on today. I'm just dealing with the story. The only update I had today was that today she was back in court, and the same judge, Fayette District Circuit Court Judge Kim Wilkie, ordered the police for a second time to return all the confiscated inventory. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that was the update from this morning. She had emailed a bunch of lists on her Liberty Friends list about 4 or 5 hours ago that Judge Wilkie had upheld his decision. And she said that she guesses that she should still get her property back. It'll be a couple more weeks now, she says. It's just amazing how these government officials can do these unconscionable things. And again, if it's for public works, it's one thing, but taking a bunch of people's goods from a store, that just tells you how the Constitution's dead in their minds. But yeah, Judge Wilkie upheld his decision, and she should be getting her property back. So that is a win for the good guys.
Well, yes and no, because this is the second time the judges had to order the property returned. Some of that property was destroyed when they took it back in August of 2012. So there's some property they're never going to get back. They've lost their reputation because the police lied to the media and said that they took illegal drugs out of here, which was a lie, a knowing lie at that. You know, and they went beyond the search warrant. Items that weren't even on the search warrant or anything else, they went ahead and confiscated as well. So the police have done everything wrong in this situation you could possibly imagine. You know, where is the outrage against the Lexington police? Where is the accountability for the Lexington police? And where is the compensation for Botany Bay from the Lexington
police?
Well,
the good news is a lot of the word is getting out because the gentleman in Lexington, I can't remember his name, but he's the one who replaced Leland Conway on their local show there, and my good friend Frank Harris, who comes on the Thursday Night Truth sometimes, and David Adams, who I know that you know very well.
Yes.
David Adams and Frank Harris both went on the air with the gentleman who's on that show now, basically defending Jimmy Savile and telling him the truth about what went on in that situation. That was when it first went down, and lo and behold, the Clear Channel, who owns that network, didn't let them have him back on after that one appearance on the radio show.
Oh, there's a big surprise. We all know Clear Channel does whatever they want to do. That's just the way it is.
Oh, yeah. They're in with the police and the government, so they don't care about the individual.
We left Clear Channel for business practices, and I'm not going to go into detail on that one just yet. But that's why we're doing. That's why I'm doing a daily show on Blog Talk now. I got tired of.
Right.
You know, there's a couple of reasons. One, we have a hell of a lot more traffic on here that we can account for that you can't. Everything in radio is all done by speculation. You don't know how many people listen. You speculate, and it's an old model. You can't really tell. On here, we know what we've got. We've got thousands of people who follow our shows, including yours on Thursday night on TNT Radio. So we've got all this stuff going on. But for me, you know, to get back on topic, I tell you, I've got a severe problem because if they took property that was not part of the search warrant, that's theft. That's stolen property. So here's my thing, and this is what I want the lawyers to do. I want the lawyers to contact me. MyViewMatters@AOL.com. If you don't want to go on air, that's fine. Send me an email. What does a private citizen have to do to sue police officers on a personal level for either stolen property, which these officers, if they took something that was not part of the search warrant, that was outside their scope, they made the decision to steal this property. They're no different than a common thief who breaks in your window in your house.
Yeah,
so
they're an organized gang. I mean, that's what really makes them different is their organized crime. And you know, they're the gang that wears the blue hats and eats the donuts, so they get away with it. But they pretty much tore apart Jimmy's shop, and they took about $40,000 worth of accessories and different synthetic things. And I'm just reading this over from the Herald Leader, the way they talked about it, and they're not going to be the most favorable. Even they had to admit that the stuff that was taken was not listed among the banned substances in Kentucky, and most of the confiscated items are illegal merchandise.
Well, and that's exactly it. And, you know, this is the problem. Then you've got the police going out there intentionally lying. So you've got to have libel and slander involved here. And you know, one thing, and here's the thing, police can actually be held personally accountable, guys. Most people don't know that, okay? And there's a way to do that, but I have not researched it effectively enough to be able to tell you step-by-step how to do this. And that's what I'm working on now. That's what I've been working on all day, quite honestly. The police officers in my situation lied. They falsely arrested me. The charges against me for obstructing was false. Everything, there's not one definition anywhere that matches the reason they arrested me. They arrested me because I pulled a video camera out. That's why they arrested me. And I was 40 feet away from the scene, so I wasn't even impeding on the scene. So this whole thing has been a farce. In my particular case, you know, even the chief of police doesn't want this to go forward. The prosecuting attorney wants it dismissed just outright. But the county attorney, of course, Mike Connell, who I've been very critical of, is making sure this case continues just to harass me for a little bit longer, which means my lawsuit is going to get a little bit bigger.
You're telling me the same type of outfit our police who, quote-unquote, protect and serve, even though the Supreme Court said a long time ago they had no obligation to protect or serve. But you're telling me the same outfit who always wants to pull people over on the side of the road and say, oh, why won't you let us search your car? What do you got to hide? But yet, if Ed Springsteen tries to videotape them, they apparently got something to hide because they don't want Ed Springsteen videotaping them.
Well, that's exactly it, and that's what makes everything so comical. And what's really interesting here, too, in my particular case, you know, these guys literally jeopardized my life, not just the arresting officer, but the officer at Metro Corrections who took me in to frisk me and all that stuff and put me into the system. You know, and the reason I say that, I had chest pains and everything else that night. I was under a doctor's care at the time for heart problems. That's something I haven't shared publicly. You know, what I usually keep some things to myself, which very little, believe me, most people know that. But I was under a doctor's care, and I started having chest pain, shortness of breath, the classic heart attack symptoms. Explained to the officer that I needed some medical attention. He ignored it. Told me I would get attention when I got to corrections. Told the corrections officer immediately when I got there I needed medical attention. And he told me I would get immediate medical attention, and there was none. 2.5 hours later, thank God, I was still okay. But 2.5 hours later, as part of the processing into corrections in Metro Jail, you know, is when you see somebody medical. And when they found out I'd been going through this for at that point, over 3 hours, because it started at the scene, at that point, over 3 hours and was ignored, they were scared. They blood pressure test had my blood pressure at 195 over 119, which is, that's catastrophic, almost catastrophic. So, yeah, this is the situation they put me in. And here's the reason I tell you folks that, not because I want any sympathies or anything else, but the reason I say that is these Lexington police violated the law. They violated their standard procedures. They violated everything that they're supposed to be doing legally in the case of Botany Bay. In my situation, the police have violated the law. They denied me medical treatment. It could have cost me my life. My wife could be without a husband. My kids could be without a father right now today because of these decisions made by these cops, these personal decisions made by these cops. Once they put you in cuffs like they did in my situation, they assume responsibility for your life. So by putting my life on the line at that point, that officer became personally liable for anything to happen to me. That's just the way it is.
That's the kind of story. Yeah, that's what I want to bring up. I'm glad that you're in the same wavelength with the story about Jenny and her Botany Bay story, because I think it's ironic. Right here in Kentucky, we had you, Mr. Springsteen, in court today, and we had Mr. Bill in court today. And this is why way up in New Hampshire, the guys I know up there started a group called Cop Block over at copblock.org. And a lot of people say, oh, you hate cops. And it's not about hating cops. It's believing that nobody, even those with badges, should have more rights than Mr. Springsteen or Mr. Seville, any of these people. And we know they do. We see what they do on highways when they're doing 90 miles per hour because they're not going to make it to the Krispy Kreme in time and there's no emergency. We see them cut in and out of traffic and make U-turns, go one way on the wrong way on a one-way street. And we highlight the double standard that they grant themselves with these badges by pointing into supporting those like Ed and Jimmy who are harmed by their duties.
Well, and that's exactly it. And, you know, nobody can sit here and say that I hate cops. Good God, we've argued on here because I stand up.
Oh, that's right. I just hate that you had to move to a situation where I would have much rather logically explain to Ed Springsteen why I'm right about this than have you had to go through what you have said.
Well, I know, and you've tried many times. But, you know, and I still stand by the fact, I still stand by this, that this is not every officer. Most officers on the street are there to do their job properly. But there are a few out there that are bad apples. In my particular case, this is a three-year cop who's had a written word reprimand. Each year he's been on the force in his first 3 years. This one almost cost me my life. If that's not serious enough to terminate this guy, and it wasn't, then we've got serious problems that go beyond the officers on the street. We've got serious problems in accountability with the leadership of the officers on the street. And that's what we've got to get to. And the only way we're going to get that is to start going after these guys on a personal level. I will be filing a lawsuit against Dustin Hinkey, the officer that pulled this crap on me, on a personal level. And when I win that lawsuit, I won't care when he has his condo, this new condo he just bought foreclosed on. I won't care about that. Won't care at all. Because he did this. He made a decision to do that. And that's the same thing with Botany Bay. I'm expecting Botany Bay to file a major lawsuit. If they don't, they're fools. Yep. And I certainly hope that their attorneys tell them to file against the officers personally who went into their place of business that they own, destroyed property that they had no business touching via the search warrant. They had no legal right to half the stuff that they got. And at that point,
I don't know if you want to expand on this before or after, if you have a break coming up here. I know we do soon, but I just don't know how they can be held accountable individually and personally. I'm glad to hear that you're going to pursue them that way, and I agree with you that anybody who has been wrong like that should, but don't they just come back and say, oh, I was just following my orders and doing my job?
No, because that's the thing. Because here's the thing. You know, for me, I was arrested for saying, sir, can I please have your name? That's what I was arrested for. Yeah. You know, the cop ordered me out of the lot where this situation was going on, and I agreed to go. I said, sir, I'm leaving, but can I please have your name? And he said, oh, you think this is a game? I said, no, sir, I don't think this is a game. I said, you know, and I was very polite. Matter of fact, just like I'm talking right now, not screaming and yelling, not all freaked out.
Right.
You know, sir, no, sir, I don't think this is a game. I actually support what you guys do. I said, but, you know, in this particular case, it involved my son. They were jacking up my son illegally, and he's got a lawsuit going on that. You know, and I said, but this is my son. I'm a father. I own the vehicle that you guys are out here illegally searching right now. I didn't use the word illegally at that time. You know, and I said, you know, I'm concerned. I don't know how this operation works. So if you do arrest him, can I at least have your name? Because I don't know if I need that when I call downtown to post bail.
Yeah.
He goes, that's it. You're under arrest. all because I had the pain. You know, after I'd already agreed to leave the scene and everything else. So, you know, this is the kind of stupid stuff they do. But what makes this interesting, and this is why I say the cops have to be held accountable on a personal level, because it will make them think. I mean, these guys are homeowners, husbands, parents, whatever. You know, they're going to have to think, because LMPD has their own operating procedures. Okay, I mean, every department does. They have their own operating procedures that they are required to follow. That's the thing, okay? Mm-hmm. They're required to follow these. If they don't follow these, it's just like you and I. If we get hurt on the job and we're drunk on the job, they're not required to give us workman's comp. We can be fired on the spot with nothing. If we cut our arm off, they're not required to do anything for us, okay? That's the way it is. So one of the interesting things here is, you know, and this is what makes it so fascinating. LMPD here locally, according to their standard operating procedure 5.1.8, all officers shall verbally provide their name and display their badge to any citizen who requests identification. There's no exception to that. If additional identification is requested, the officer must present their departmentally issued ID card. So what happened here was I had this cop on video, which is why he approached me in the first place. And then when I asked for his name, he didn't want to associate his name with that video, so he decided to jack me up just to try to scare me out of this, not realizing at the time I'm Louisville's mouth. I'm not going to get jacked up and be silent for long. So, you know, that's just one aspect. And, of course, I illegally impounded my wife's car. The chief of police has the chief of police has already told me, you know, that these guys were flat out wrong and everything else. You know, and yet this case is still going forward. And that's the thing with Botany Bay. You know, and I'm not trying to make this about me. I'm just trying to show the comparison that it's not just it's Louisville. It's Louisville. It's Lexington. It's police departments across this country that are starting to get ultra aggressive and going after average citizens. And I don't comprehend why these officers are not held on a personal level. And I know they can be. So we're going to research that, and hopefully I'll have something in the near future. You know what? We are going to take a quick break, Dale, because I kind of want to switch gears a little bit. I spent more time on this than I wanted to. We had two shootings today. We had a debate up on Capitol Hill. All this gun control madness is going on, and I know you love that. So we want to switch gears, kind of get into that a little bit, and see where to go from here. So you're listening to the Ed Springs Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. We will be right back, folks. Stay tuned.
I'm here to give you anything you like. You want free college, energy, mortgages, whatever you like. You have come to the right place. Why? I'll tell you why. Who can take your money?
Who can take your money?
With a twinkle in their eye.
A twinkle in their eye.
Take it all away and give it to some other guy. The government.
The government.
The government can.
Make it all taste good.
The government takes everything
crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email MyViewMatters at AOL.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
And we are back. Yes, we are back here on the Ed Springsteen Show on the MVM
yep.
Radio Network. For you guys that want to call in, you can give us a call at 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334. You can also join the live chat right now. For you guys who are listening in the listening queue, and there's always a bunch of you, and we appreciate it. Don't forget to hit that number one on your dial pad so that we can get you on there if you choose to go. So, you know, Dale, you're back. Apparently we've got the computer
Skype
situation
working,
logged.
That should sound a little bit better, yeah.
Sounds quite a bit better, man, I tell you what. You know, we're going into break. I kind of want to get into this. We're going into break a little bit.
Yep.
And we're hearing today about an office shooting in Phoenix, Arizona. Mainstream news is all over this. Phoenix office shooting. Multiple injuries reported in an attack at Arizona workplace. This was not a random shooting, folks. This was something that was planned. It wasn't a random act. There were three people wounded in the shooting at Phoenix. But the interesting thing for me, you know, we're kind of getting numb to these shootings going on around the country. You know, but we continue, you know, wanting to go after the guns because of the shootings. But, of course, law-abiding citizens aren't the ones doing the shootings.
Nope.
But what's interesting to me is all the attention that this Phoenix office shooting is getting. And once again, the one thing that's barely getting mentioned is another murder out of Chicago. Hadiya Pendleton, she's a 15-year-old teenager who actually was performing at the inauguration festivities for Barack Obama. She's a majorette. She's performing for Barack Obama. And she was murdered. She was shot in the back on Tuesday in Chicago while she was standing underneath a shelter from rain. She was standing
Welcome
underneath the canopy.
Chicago.
Yeah, a guy jumps out of a car, jumps a fence. There's about 12 teenagers under this shelter, fires at all of them, runs towards a group, opens fire, and then jumps in a car and leaves. There's been no arrest made. So this was a targeted shooting. I don't think that she was the intended victim. However, you know, here you've got a 15-year-old girl in Chicago who was a Barack Obama inauguration, you know, performer that just got fatally shot. Now, you would think, you know, with the Barack Obama angle that this would be a serious story for mainstream to cover. And they don't. They want to focus on the Phoenix shooting.
Yeah, get crooked from the media. I mean, the thing about Chicago, and we've talked about this, I've mentioned this on shows. If you're going through Illinois, I never looked up the law, but I've been told that if you're traveling through Illinois, you literally have to have your ammunition locked up in the trunk of your car or you could get cited or arrested.
Yes. Yes, Chicago.
Which, you know,
Chicago,
ammunition locked in the trunk of a car does you a lot of good when you're getting carjacked, right?
Well, yeah, because criminals aren't locking up their ammunition, and that's
yeah.
the whole thing. Chicago has some of the strictest gun control laws in the country, and yet they have one of the highest murder rates by guns in the country. That's because the criminals, as always, do not care about laws. That's why you're a criminal. You know, and it's fascinating because, and this is where I'm going to want to get into, is Dick Durbin and Wayne LaPierre, Senator Dick Durbin, went head-to-head with NRA Chairman Wayne LaPierre when they were debating background checks at a Senate gun violence hearing today. Now, what makes this story interesting, or Executive Vice President, I should say, with Wayne LaPierre, what makes this damn thing interesting is Durbin is trying to act like the NRA is missing the point. The NRA is saying that Durbin is missing the point, and I agree with the NRA here, and I'll tell you why. You know, LaPierre was pointing out the obvious. The problem with background checks is you're never going to get criminals to go through universal background checks, period. Criminals don't go through background checks. You know, and LaPierre went on and further and went and said that we don't even prosecute anybody right now that goes through the system we have. None of it makes any sense in a real world. And he's right.
Yep.
You know, so he's trying to tell this guy exactly what the real problem is, the real world, how we look at everything. And what does this idiot Democrat senator from Illinois, of course, Illinois, right, Chicago, Senator Dick Durbin, said that the background checks would mean that criminals won't go to purchase the guns because there will be a background check. So because they won't go to purchase the gun, we'll stop them at the original purchase. And then he screamed at Wayne LaPierre that he missed the point completely. Now explain to me this. Criminals don't go through background checks anyway.
Nope.
Criminals don't go purchase their guns legally for the most part. All right? So, you know, how is this missing a point? Who is stupid enough here to believe anything that this idiot from Illinois just said? Criminals don't go purchase a gun. Come on.
Now, Dick Durbin is a complete idiot. And this is a guy, quite honestly, you have to realize, you know how Dick Durbin got to be the senior senator from Illinois? He got to be that way because all the other politicians ranked above him either were indicted or forced out of office. I mean,
yeah,
the guy could be governor of Illinois if he wanted right now. Remember, the last three governors are either in or out or on their way in or out of prison.
Well, that's why he's not the governor. He wants federal protection instead of state
protection.
Yeah, he
doesn't want to go to prison. Yeah. He knows that there's a shoot straight from the governor's mansion to the federal shin. But
well,
Dick Durbin, I mean, I don't know what he thinks. Does he think that there's a line of criminals lined up at the gun stores to buy these guns? It's the opposite of what's happening. It kind of reminds me of, I saw a story, and I think it was out west, it may have been in Arizona, but I saw where there was somebody having a big gun buyback. It turned out to be like an auction because real gun owners and gun collectors and enthusiasts were showing up to outbid how much the government was paying for these guns.
Oh, yeah, that was Seattle. Yeah, that went
out west. And that just shows you, the people who are buying the guns are the ones who are not going to use them badly, and they were willing to show up. I think that's great. If you can, I always said that'd be a good way to buy a cheap gun is to show up at one of these gun buybacks and just outbid the government.
Well, that's exactly what happened in Seattle. What they found out, the police set up a gun buyback program under Interstate 5. So I guess it's an overpass there. They set up a gun buyback program under Interstate 5. They were offering $100 and $200 for guns, to take the guns. And what happened was a bunch of private gun collectors showed up, started waving cash around, and let these guys know that they could buy guns too, which is perfectly legal. And these guys were actually paying, a real price for guns. If you had a gun the cops were going to give you $100 for on a handgun, the market price was $300. These guys were giving you close to the market price. Why would you undercut yourself and sell for
that? And that's supply and demand. That's beautiful capitalism at its best. And now if the people really wanted the guns off the street and they really wanted to buy these guns from the public, then they would have then had a bidding war with the gun collectors. But no, instead they want to holler about how it's not right for these gun collectors to come out and try to buy their guns. I'm surprised they didn't try to arrest some of them for doing it. You're right, what they're doing is legal. But hell, same thing as what you were doing was legal, Ed, and look what happened to you.
Well, yeah, but there's a difference there. They had a crowd of people there that could all be witnesses in court.
Exactly.
These cops tried to take advantage of me with only two witnesses.
You got it. No witnesses.
That's it. But it's the beauty of it. So I loved that story myself.
It's a great story.
And I love this story, Wayne LaPierre going to Washington. It doesn't matter whether you agree with the NRA or not. You have to agree with the Constitution and agree with the law. I'm not a big fan of semi-automatic weapons. I'll be honest with you. I don't like assault weapons. I don't own an assault weapon. But who the hell am I to tell you don't have the right to own it? That's not right. That isn't America. And that's
I heard a little bit of the show. I don't know if it was the last night or night before that you and Mr. Martin were talking about guns and people carrying them in public.
Yep.
And I guess this is where I have to take exception with Mr. Martin for a moment, so hopefully he can listen and come back and counterpoint me later. But I heard him say that it makes him uneasy to see people carrying these guns around. And I just kind of had to drop my jaw on the floor when I heard Mr. Martin say that, because I feel much safer when these people are like that in public. Because like you say, you have witnesses. They're not going to do anything. They're law-abiding citizens. If you go back 40, 50 years, everybody carried their guns around and nobody felt uneasy about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the thing. And that's one thing we pointed out. I took the same stance as you did with Ed. Ed's my friend. He's my partner. Got a lot of respect for Ed, but there's a lot of things that we just don't agree on, and that's one of them. Ed wanted to sit here and take the stance that, we should be able to, walk around the streets without having to worry about that gun being there, and that's not true. I think if more people carried publicly, the criminals would be less reluctant, or they would be more reluctant, to pull their weapon out to shoot a criminal. I mean, shoot somebody that has a gun.
I'm much more worried, and I'm much more alarmed and concerned, and whatever other adjective you want to throw in there, and not really scared, but I'm much more concerned in public when there's not somebody with guns to protect us. Look at these shootings when you have them at the malls and you have them at the theaters, and we all know, unlike what Penis Morgan says on his very low-watch CNN show, we all know that guns save lives, and you can't put a statistic on it because if the gun saves a life, there's not a dead body for Piers Morgan to use as a statistic.
Well, we also know, too, I mean, now we know, because Piers Morgan doesn't want to tell the truth, that the UK, which he's so proud of, having only 3 gun deaths last year, has a higher homicide rate than the United States because they're killing people with knives and other weapons instead of guns. Let's go to the phones. I believe this is our good friend Paul with Stop It.
Good.
Am I correct?
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hey, I do recognize the number. Hot dog, what's going on, my friend?
Listen, Ed, I wanted to ask you a quick question about something before I comment.
Sure.
I haven't been following the local news regarding the Louisville Metro Council and their gun ban, which I understand, it's my understanding that gun ban in the Metro Council meeting was changed. Was it overturned or rescinded?
Actually, no. What's happening here is starting this month, the city of Louisville, this was reported by Philip Bailey, and this was on Monday. Louisville Metro government departments are urging gun owners to use common sense, since firearms are now allowed in city-owned buildings. And what brought that on is the General Assembly last year passed a state law that forbids cities from enacting any stricter gun laws than the state has in place. You can walk into the state capitol as long as you're open carrying. You can walk right onto the House floor and the Senate floor, and they proved that, last year. You can walk onto the House floor or Senate floor while it's in session. As long as that weapon is open carry, you can walk freely around the Capitol building. So what the General Assembly says is if it's good enough for us, it's good enough for you.
Okay, so are you saying that the Metro Council's previous ban on weapons in the Metro Council room, meeting room, is that still in place, or has that been defeated?
Oh, I apologize. No, it has to be defeated. Now you can carry, according to this, the new provisions that take effect this month, which is no later than today, as a resident, you're allowed to openly carry a firearm into every metro facility, such as the mayor's office, city hall, libraries, the parks, the Louisville Zoo. If it's a metro government facility, you are allowed to open carry. You can walk into Metro Hall, you can walk into the meeting room where they have the Metro Council meetings, and open carry.
Okay.
And that story caught me by surprise, gentlemen, because I don't know, one of you two remind me, is this a story when they passed this new ruling or this new law, is this a story that just got our lazy media by surprise? They were as normal, weren't doing their homework and weren't paying attention, or did they cry bloody murder when this happened? Because you'd think they would have.
Well, a year ago when this law was passed, there really wasn't anything in the media about it. I don't think they wanted to bring attention to it because they didn't want anybody to know about it. However, this month it went into effect. Here in Louisville, the media is owned lock, stock, and barrel by the Democratic Mafia. They only report what they have to report. In this particular case, it went into effect this month, so I'm sure there's people that are already challenging this. Prior to this, people don't understand. You can open carry in the state of Kentucky anywhere. That doesn't mean a cop's not going to stop you if you're walking down the street with a gun on your hip and ask you for an ID and ask why you're carrying it, because they do that illegally, I might add. But they do that all the time to people that are open carrying. But you can do that in Kentucky. It's not illegal. And this just basically reinforced that the state has the final word on open carry gun laws in Kentucky, and the cities are just going to have to deal with it. You can go to the Louisville Free Public Library now and carry your weapon on your hip inside. As long as you're open carry and not concealed, there's no problem at all.
And again, this goes back
to
the battle we have with the police officers, gentlemen, because you've always been able to open carry out in public unless a store. I mean, then it gets a private property issue. I always think it should be private property issues when you have a lot less public property, and this wouldn't be a problem because every private property owner can make their own rules. But you can be out in public open carrying, and as we know, if you're doing it somewhere downstate, if you're in eastern Kentucky or western Kentucky or maybe down in Campbellsville or something, it's no big deal. But if you do that in Louisville, you know that a bunch of mansy-pansy soccer moms are going to call the police and tell them what they saw in the Kroger store.
Oh, sure, sure. You know, that's going to happen. But at this point, I think that this was, you know, take the pansies out of the equation. I think this was an excellent decision by the state. I think it reinforces gun rights in Kentucky, and I really truthfully hope that somebody actually challenges this. I hope they go to a Metro Council meeting with a gun on their hip and see what happens. I would love to see how that happens, because every Metro Council meeting, as we know, is videotaped from beginning to end. Before they even start the session, it's on videotape. So you can get all of the videotape and see exactly how it was handled, you know, because they will have police there, sure. Yeah, Paul.
Let me point out here, since you have confirmed that story that I heard is accurate about mm-hmm. the carrying into public buildings.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to focus on the Metro Council chambers, because I've been to a couple of Metro Council meetings over the past few years, and the security for the building is reasonable, okay?
Sure.
You can't even get through as soon as you get through the main door, you mm-hmm. have to pass through a metal detector. And there is a guard right there on the main entrance, okay?
Right.
So that's check number one. Then you go upstairs to the Metro Council chamber, and you have at least one Jefferson County Sheriff's deputy fully armed in attendance, at least one, sometimes more than one, depending on the number of people they expect. Now,
mm-hmm.
guys, here's the thing that these gun rights detractors are missing, and of course they're doing it deliberately, because this whole gun carry issue, they've been engaged in a campaign. It's not about gun rights versus no gun rights. This is about simply trying to ban the actual weapon.
Yep.
Think of this, guys. The Metro Council gets armed protection and limited access to their building and
mm-hmm.
screened access to their building,
mm-hmm.
but yet these very same people decry the notion that the children in school, who, by the way, they hide behind all the damn time, that
mm-hmm.
the children in school who are in buildings that have multiple entrances have no armed guards,
yep.
and for the most part don't have metal detectors, they decry that as being unreasonable.
Well, remember,
guys,
that's what I brought up in my show last week when you called in, Paul, is I always tell people, look, you have Congress is protected by weapons, White House is protected by weapons, U.S. Senate is protected by weapons, our sporting events, our concert events are protected by weapons. The only place that is not protected by weapons is where the little children go to school.
That's very true. And then you got to look at the big picture too. Barack Obama wants to issue 23 executive orders, most of which will be overturned, by the way. But he wants to issue all these executive orders. He wants to talk about gun control. Wants to limit the clips. Wants to take away the semi assault weapons. All these other things that they want to do. But Barack Obama's own children go to school every day with an armed escort. They're in school with an armed escort. No other kids in America get that opportunity. So it's what I told everybody last night on my show, that it really, truthfully, if you want my gun, I will gladly give you my gun. I really will. I will do it, gladly give you my gun. As soon as you disarm the Secret Service, as soon as Barack Obama has to walk around the streets without armed escorts, as soon as Senator Dianne Feinstein goes everywhere without an armed escort, as soon as, you know, we eliminate all the guns from everybody who thinks they're above the law, including Hollywood folks, or your Hollywood celebrities always have bodyguards, and guess what? They're armed as well. When we make this across the board for every American citizen, regardless of rank, title, or prestige, you can have my gun. Because it's going to be an equal footing, except the criminals always have them. I'll take that chance.
When you get the money that Hollywood people have, like you say, Ed, they don't have to worry about being a normal person. They have so much money, which I think everybody should have that much money. And then some of them be crying, moan, and bitch about how they don't pay enough taxes, but no one stops them from writing a check out to the national debt if they want. But they have armed bodyguards, so they can say, oh, I don't believe in carrying guns. You know, they have their own chef, so they don't have to worry about the GMO foods that the hardworking blue-collar public does, because their own chef will make sure they're not eating the GMO foods. So they're protected from all the crap that the rank-and-file blue-collar folks aren't protected from.
Well, exactly. And go to Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
Bloomberg or Rahm Emanuel. They both
have
seven or eight bodyguards.
Well, that's it. But let's look at this, though. Bloomberg wants to take your guns. Rahm Emanuel wants to take your guns. Both believe in the gun buyback program. Bloomberg's been on record liking the gun buyback program, thinks it's a great program. But when these cops do these gun buyback programs, they're getting $50,000 grants. So they're going to be able to buy $50,000 worth of guns. That's a drop in the bucket. And Bloomberg thinks that a gun buyback program is so damn good, and he wants to get the guns off the streets by buying them back from people who aren't really criminals in the first damn place, because the criminals aren't going to sell their weapons. They need them for protection. They'll let Bloomberg, who's a rich man, why is he donating millions of dollars of his own personal money? Why isn't he donating this money to the gun buyback program and have a multi-million dollar gun buyback program in New York alone? He can afford it. Is he doing it? No. Let's go to the phones. This is our 805 number. Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, Ed. Glad to hear your voice on the radio tonight.
Hey, Mayo. How are you, sir?
How you doing, bro?
Oh, doing good. I'm glad things went well in court. What gets me, what you know, everybody keeps saying assault weapon. Well, what they're calling assault weapon isn't an assault weapon. I mean, you could say it's an assault style weapon, but all
it is
a semi-automatic rifle
that
has either a specialized grip or a butt stock or something on there that makes it look like a semi.
It's all cosmetic. Nobody's going to buy the cosmetic argument. Go ahead.
Yeah. Second thing, you could break it down to, what you're arguing about with the guns, them having them and telling us we can't, suggest they think they're more important than us. You know, the Hollyweirds are our politicians. Their lives are more important than their average citizen's life. And the third thing on the gun, on the program you're just saying about the buyback in New York and other things, if there was someone did a documentary, but most of the guns that are bought at police auctions, the buyback programs and everything like that, they go right to the gun show dealers. They'll take like 5-7 handguns that they purchase and sell them to a gun show dealer. You can go to police auction. They'll be holding up like 5 pistols you can buy for $100.
Do you know why they do that? It's a funding mechanism.
Got me.
It's a funding mechanism, and I'm going to go to a place that Dale probably is going to love me going to, okay? Mm-hmm. But it's a funding mechanism. Let's look at the reality here because, one of the reasons you can't smoke pot, if you will, all right, it's not that pot is so bad for you. It's because if you have a drug war, these police departments and these other people, they have to fight against marijuana because when they fight against marijuana, when they take your plants, they get to take your property. When they take your property, they sell it at auction. All that money goes right back to the police departments. So they get a lot of money for overtime. They get a lot of – this is all about the money. It's not about the crime, okay? This is all about the money. This is for people to give them more cash so that they can do whatever they want to do. That money goes into a police fund somewhere. It's either used as a federal grant or it's used, at a local police department through their own auctions. This allows them to pay for overtime. They buy new cars with it, whatever. Our taxes are supposed to be paying for all of this, but they want to go ahead and take this shit to make sure they can pay for it. That's the problem. So this whole gun buyback program, and it's not just the ones that they're selling back to the gun dealers, Mayo. It's also that most of these guns that they're buying back, the last report I saw, most of these guns weren't usable anyway. They're junk guns. They're missing firing pins. A trigger might be gone, something. Now, they've worked in the last couple of years to not buy as many of those guns back. They're starting to pay attention, and they're doing an inventory on these guns to make sure they're working pistols. But, the reality is they're bad weapons that aren't going to be used anyway, for whatever reason. And we're spending money buying these things off the street because somebody's got a piece of junk in their house, that ain't worth $5 in melted metal. You know what I mean? And they're getting $100 for it. So you could throw all kinds of things in here, but it's all about the money. They don't care. Comments, suggestions? Dale?
There you are. Can you hear me, Ed?
Yeah, I can hear you. Okay. I lost you for a minute.
You lost everybody for a minute. But what I was going to say is these people, subliminally, do they just not trust themselves with the guns? Because why, unless you are just trying to make a quick buck, like you said, on a gun that you're getting paid way more than it's worth to turn in, why would you turn in guns? And then you'll hear them interview the man on the street or the woman on the street. And I'm sorry, but these idiots will say, oh, I had to do it to make everybody safer. So are you saying you were going to commit a crime with that weapon? You owned the weapon. You weren't responsible enough to take care of your own damn weapon?
Now, Dale, you can't use common sense or logic in these kind of arguments. You know this. You know, but you're absolutely right. And the second thing is, too, nobody's asked for ID. You walk into a gun buyback program, just like they did here in Louisville not too long ago. You walk in there with your gun, you hand it to the cop hands you your voucher or your money, whichever they're doing, and you walk away.
Yeah.
So if the criminal breaks into a house and gets a bad gun that ain't no good, he can walk in there, and now he's going to get $100 or $200. So we're actually rewarding the criminal, because they're not going to tell me that some of these guys aren't criminals. That would be the biggest night of life.
That's why they do sales at gun shows.
Yeah. Well, what I was going to say is what you don't hear a lot of is guns getting stolen from private homes. I mean, we won't consider the whole Fast and Furious and how a government gives away guns, but you rarely hear about guns getting stolen from private individuals because, number one, if the media is publishing the names and the addresses like the horrendous story that they did up in New York, they know not to go to those houses. They're going to go to houses where there's no guns, but there's valuables. And those people with guns are going to use those guns if they're any good. So like you said, maybe they got some vacated home or some family's on vacation, and they got some bad guns, and then they sold them back to themselves. So you got criminals making money off the gun buyback show.
Well, funny you should bring up New York, because I don't know if you've seen the recent story on this. This came out Monday night. We haven't got to it yet this week, and I apologize. But, you know, the Journal News up in New York had put out this Google map of the gun permit holders. That's what we're talking about. They said it was justified for the cause of transparency and everything else. Well, we also had Project Veritas go out to the editors and the reporters on this story to ask them to put up a gun-free sign in their homes and their yards, and they refused to do it. And by the time they got to the end of their list, these people actually had armed security around their home. So much for hypocritical stuff. But now it appears that the map itself was very inaccurate. The map actually implicated citizens who were dead, didn't have guns or moved. Nobody called and verified the address. And what it boils down to is only about 22% of the addresses that they release as gun owners, gun permit holders, were accurate. So out of almost 17,000 permit holders that they decided to list, everybody thought this was just amazing. Only about 3,900 of them were current. And some of those daggone permits went all the way back to the 1930s, Dale.
You mean to tell me, Ed, that are highly trustworthy, never do wrong, always give it to you straight, Fourth Estate, the media, got something wrong?
Yeah, I hate to break your heart and pay you that, but yeah, that's true. And of course, you know, the one that gets everything wrong most of the time is Gannett. And of course, Gannett owns the Journal News. So, this is really interesting to me, because we continue to have this debate. We continue to have all this stuff going on. We continue to talk about the shootings. We continue to talk about gun control. And we continue to see the farce of what really is going on, because there is absolutely nothing these guys are talking about that makes any sense to a rational human being on both sides of the aisle. As I've mentioned before, most of my liberal friends think that the Democrats are going way too far in gun control. Most of them do. That's them. And I agree with them. You know, of course, the Republicans are going that way anyway, because they're all ultra-conservatives these days. But the reality is, you know, guns don't kill people. People kill people. If you're not going to use a gun, you're going to use a knife. We have yet to sit here and face the reality of one thing, and that is this. What is the underlying cause of people killing other people? That's it. Either mental health issues, you know, antidepressants brought on by the conglomerate drug manufacturers. There is always a reason. You know, we have found that the state laws actually work in some cases. In Connecticut, with Adam Lanza, who shot all the kids at Sandy Hook, the gun laws worked. He applied to buy a gun, and there was a 14-day waiting period, and he decided he didn't want to wait. So that state law was pretty strict. So instead of waiting, he went home, stole his mom's guns, waited for her to come in, killed her, then went to the elementary school and killed the kids. So he stole the guns. Here's a criminal in action. He didn't want to wait. He was hell-bent and determined to kill. So, you know, we've got to look at these realities. And nobody wants to look at that, because nobody wants to take responsibility for a poor economy that's creating more criminals today than anything we can do. Nobody wants to tell the drug manufacturers, we're not going to allow you to sell your poison anymore because it's destroying our people. Nobody wants to do that, Dale. Why is that?
Well, mentioning the drug dealers, the ones that we call pharmaceuticals, I call them drug dealers, and mentioning the professional, I guess you call them the high-end drug dealers, we know them as Eli Lilly and companies like that.
Right.
But they get these kids hooked on these drugs when they're very young in elementary school, and then I guess maybe that's where socialized healthcare was supposed to help out on the nanny state and the big government. I'm not going to call them liberals because liberal used to be a good term, the communists, because they get these kids on these drugs. Then what happens when the kids grow up and the kids have went through their 12 years in the public schools and they fed the kids the lies about how they go to college? So mm-hmm. Now the kids get out of college with a bunch of debt that the government told them that they needed, an education the government told them they needed, and now they don't have health insurance to buy the drugs that they've been pumping them with all their lives.
Well, they do have health insurance. Obamacare.
Well, they do now, and that's what's ironic. Isn't it funny? Since Obamacare passed,
mm-hmm.
when we now have more kids can stay on mommy and daddy's insurance, and the 20-some-year-old kid can stay on mommy's tit, I mean, you know, why is it now we have more shootings? Again, if they're going to keep them as professional zombies and have them on these drugs, then why all the shootings?
Well, I think the evidence is clear that these drug dealers, the conglomerate drug companies, are a part of the major problem. You know, and I've told this story many times on air, and I won't spend a lot of time on it, but, you know, actually we've got to wrap up. We're getting really close. But, you know, my son was supposedly ADHD for years. And after a couple of years of shoving Ritalin down his mouth, I decided, no, he's not ADHD. He's just spoiled rotten. You know, he was one of these kids who was sick all the time. He almost died when he was a baby. So you gave a little bit more cushion than you should have. You know, I mean, that's just the thing that a lot of parents have to face every day. But as soon as I whomped his ass and held him accountable, guess what? We didn't have any more problems with ADHD, and he went off of Ritalin right away. And I didn't have any more problems like that, not at school, not at home, because he was held accountable. So out of that accountability, you earn respect. And that's the problem today. No parent wants to do their job. Mayo, thanks for the call, man. We are very short on time. I appreciate it. Thanks to our good friend Paul for calling in. He's already checked out. Dale, final thoughts, my friend.
Well, we talk about these gun laws, and we know what they want. They want confiscation. They want to take away all the guns. Dianne Feinstein admitted it years ago that she had her way and had the votes. She would take away all the guns. But isn't it ironic that the new Feinstein bill has an exception in it? Not everyone is exempted from owning military-style assault weapons under new legislation. Weapons used by government officials would not be prohibited by the law proposed by the California Democrats. So in other words, as long as you work for the government, you can keep using these guns. We got to disarm the masses and basically make it a bigger police state. And this is the problem. We need to demand that the government, government meaning control, mint meaning mind, are disarmed. They're the servants. They're the ones who are supposed to be the servants. All these traitors in mind control, maybe we should be disarming them. I saw a perfect bumper sticker today, Ed, and it says, support the troops because we'll need them to overthrow the government. Death to the New World Order.
I kind of like that myself, but that's exactly what the Second Amendment was designed to do, to protect us from a tyrannical government. It had absolutely nothing to do with hunting. You know, back in the day when we wrote this thing called the Constitution, everybody hunted and fished. If you didn't hunt and fish, you starved to death. It was that simple. Everybody had a gun. They knew how to use it. They knew how to kill meat. You know, so they could eat. They had to, or they would die of starvation. So this whole hunting argument is a joke for me. And when you look at what's really going on here, the gun control and things like that, you know, we continue to cry constantly about the kids that were killed at Sandy Hook. And I'm not going to make light of that, folks, in any way, shape, or form. I think it was a tragedy. It was a preventable tragedy if Adam Lanza would have been hospitalized and neutralized like he should have been many years before. But his mom decided not to. His rich daddy decided not to. Okay, this is the result of their poor decision-making, all right? But when we look at this, when we look at this in the case of Adam Lanza and everything else, we have to start looking at the bigger picture and what's creating these causes. We don't know. We know that mental illness has a large part to do with it. We know that the antidepressants are not being sold across the board freely and openly with full disclosure. We know this. But we're not doing anything about it. And while we sit here and cry about the victims of Sandy Hook, while we sit here and cry about the children who were killed in Aurora, Colorado, you know, we're forgetting about the woman in Georgia who stood up to an intruder when he opened up the closet door where she hid her and her two children, who was able to get that attacker out of her home by shooting him 5 out of 6 times. Now, people say, well, he was leaving the home. No, when you get shot in the face, you're not leaving the home. Otherwise, you'd be shot in the back. We forget about those kind of things because mainstream media doesn't want to report the thousands of legal gun owners who have been able to keep themselves from being victimized. While we continue crying about Sandy Hook and our children dying there in Aurora, Colorado, we don't want to talk about the hundreds of children who were killed in Pakistan last year by drone attacks ordered by our own president. When we continue talking about taking our guns, we don't want to talk about the 4.8 children who die every single day in Afghanistan by gunfire from our U.S. troops or by drone attacks from our U.S. president. What about those children? What about their families? They suffer too. We have no problem accepting that. We have a problem accepting when it happens on our soil. And folks, that's the real tragedy here. We have forgotten what human life is all about, and until we get back to that, we're going to continue seeing these shootings. But it's not going to be done by people who are law-abiding like myself. I pack and I carry 99% of the time, and I'm very proud to do it. Until you've had a gun put in your face, until you've been victimized, you're not sure what you would do in that situation. That's what it took for me to finally buy a handgun in my home a few years ago. And I'll continue to support the Second Amendment, and I will continue to support my right to defend myself, because as I now know, the police officers certainly don't give a crap about my rights.
Nope.
They've proven it. That's it for tonight. Anything special for tomorrow night, Dale?
Well, we're going to talk about how you know you're no longer living in a free country, about when the government tells you what you can and cannot put in your body. And there's a story this week, very sad story, really makes me angry, about a family-owned milk operation in Missouri, a raw milk operation, that had the state milk board come in and confiscate 18 tons of cheese because it came from raw milk. Oh, yes, the land of the fleeced and the home of the slave.
Boy, you ain't lying. Okay, folks, that's tomorrow night right here, same time, same channel. TNT Thursday Night Truth Show with our good friend Dale the Truth. Thanks so much for joining us, Dale.
Sure.
Sunday night, Ken Mulman with Liberty Unbridled right here, same time, same channel. And in the meantime, folks, there's nothing else to say. We've given you all you need to know. Now all you got to do is stand up and take advantage of it. Take care. Dale will be here tomorrow night. Y'all have a great night. Thanks for listening.